That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, Millennials, and welcome back to The Toast. Happy Tuesday. It's a gorgeous day in New York.
It is, and we have a 29-year-old.
Wow, just going right into the ageism. Okay.
Because you are a new woman today than you were last we saw you on The Toast. You have officially grown
turned 18.
By a year. You have officially turned
18. I've turned 18. I'm so excited for what this year will bring me, you know? I could buy
a pack of cigarettes.
I could enlist. Should I?
I think you should.
I think that's really what I need.
I mean, I do think, like, they would throw you overboard.
The way I wouldn't last 10 minutes in the Army. First, because I would just annoy the fuck out of everyone. I'd look for, like, a community of, like, you know, fellow Army goers who, like, love show tunes and the Kardashians. And everyone would find me annoying. And then, like, the first day I have to wake up, what, like, 4 a.m.?
You would not stop complaining.
Oh, my God. Endlessly. That was, like, one of my nightmares growing up, like, being sent to military school, you know? I don't know why, like, ever. I feel like our generation, maybe it was Cadet Kelly. Like, that was, like, the punishment. Like, if she's bad, she's going to go to military school.
No, that's just, like, kids.
No, I feel like it was very much, like, a 90s. Early 2000s thing, like, because of Cadet Kelly.
Not because of Cadet Kelly, but I feel like now there's other things that they're like, if she's bad, she's gonna.
Right. And then it was like those Provo Canyon type schools.
Yeah.
What are the kids scared of these days?
I don't know.
Me neither. Gotta find out.
Not much. I think that's the problem.
With this generation.
There's no, like, looming threat.
No, not me turning 29 and, like, talking about the kids, you know? That's what happens.
That's what happens.
So we are back in studio. I took yesterday off, even though. We recorded, actually, for yesterday, in lieu of a Toast episode. There was a Patreon podcast that was probably one of my favorite ones ever.
Why was it your favorite one?
Because it was all about me.
It was all about Turdy. Everyone submitted the most random topics, and we ventured to see if Turdy could make it about her. And you know what? She made mostly everything about her, but there were a few things that she was stumped.
What did I get stumped on? Alaska.
Alaska.
I couldn't make it about myself.
Aldi supermarket.
Never been to one.
And, like, the Spanish War.
But we never heard of it.
But then we decided that one wasn't fair.
We found a way. The thing is, it was a great episode. So if you're a Patreon member, you heard from us yesterday. But if you're just a regular Toaster, we haven't seen you in quite a bit. Hope everybody had a great weekend.
How was your weekend?
It was amazing. Celebrated my birthday on Saturday with, you know, friends. Yesterday, big family day. It was really an amazing birthday. Like, there's no post-birthday blues here. Like, I feel like that's how you should feel after, like, a good birthday. Like, so grateful. Such wonderful people in my life. Everybody wrote me such beautiful cards. Really, Jackie. I read the card one more time before I went to bed.
Oh, my God, that's
It was,
so cute.
Hands down, the best written card I've ever gotten in my life. Like,
well, and that says a lot. That actually doesn't say too much because you don't really, like, write cards for people.
I didn't say it was the best card I'd ever written.
No.
I don't like to write cards.
No. You didn't let me finish my sentence. Okay. Maybe if you let me finish my sentence.
Because it sounded like an insult.
No.
Okay.
I said, because you don't really write emotional cards for people, people don't write the most emotional cards for you because they know it's, like, not that important to you.
You give what you get.
Yeah. Like, there are some people in the family who are known for, one, like,
Olivia,
writing emotional cards and also loving emotional cards. And, like, that's just not for you in general. So that's why I feel like you don't get always, like, the most emotional card. But I was like, I don't care what this bitch wants. Like, I have a lot to say to her.
It's what this bitch needs.
I have a lot to say to her, and I'm gonna say it.
You know, let's talk about my reputation when it comes to cards in the family, because I have something.
Cards are really important in our family. So are gifts. But, like, cards, you better be saying something.
And everyone, like, jokes, like,
and we all watch the person reading it. We're like, was that a tear? Was that a laugh?
It's a competition.
It's a competition. Who can make you cry?
So everyone knows I'm like the loser in that competition. Like I write the worst cards and like it's like a joke, like Claudia doesn't even try, blah, blah, blah.
Sometimes you don't even write a card. Sometimes
There was like 5 years ago where like I didn't write anyone a card for like a year.
It was like last year.
No, it was recently.
You decided like you are who you are and you're not writing cards.
Jackie, I swear to God, that was like years ago. I promise. But wait, let me get to
just
my point.
Just like it was 3 to 4 months
Shut
ago.
Shut up. Let me get to my point. My point is like I have this reputation. And I think it's high time everybody knows. Like, I have that reputation, sure. But when I sit down to write someone a card, like, I really, like, I'm writing, like, from the heart. Like, I'm, like, trying really hard. And then, like, everybody's like, oh, that's the best you got. Like, I'm not, it's not for lack of trying, which makes it really sad.
I feel the same way for me. My cards are always, like, pretty middle of the line. I'm never the, well, sometimes I'm the best if I have a lot to say, but I'm never like the standout card writer, but I'm telling you, when I sit down to write it, like there's not a false word on the page.
No, and like I tear up.
Yeah, no, I agree. And also what's so frustrating is so many like cliched sentences. Like I mean with every fiber of my being.
They ring true, but they sound corny.
Right. It's like, you're the most amazing sister. Like,
but like I am.
Like I mean that when I say that.
I feel that 100%. Writing cards is really hard.
It is. Olivia is like the queen. Best. She's, we call her like the Hallmark girly.
But I just want to say, like, just because I think when we all open cards, we judge them based on their length, correct?
No, not necessarily. But of course, but like,
if it's really long, it's like, wow, this person really tried. And I just don't, like, fully agree with that.
I don't think that's what it is.
Okay.
I feel like everyone's cards are pretty much the same length of, like, the 2 pages, 1.5 on the card.
Yeah. I find writing cards, like, really hard.
I do, too. But it's always, like, fun when you have something to say. Like, yesterday I had something to say, so I didn't dread it.
Well, it was beautiful. It was an amazing day. So many well wishes from, you know, celebrities in my DMs, which is really
all you really wanted.
That's why I went to bed with a big smile on my face.
That's why you're okay with your birthday.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. No, and I really am okay with my birthday. Like, I don't really mind my age. Like, I like the way, you know, I like where I'm at in my life, my career. I love the way that I look. Like, I'm okay.
That's great. I do think we're going to need to have a crisis counselor on next year.
No, seriously. Hide your kids.
Yeah. We'll find the best.
The best there is.
Crisis life coach. Yeah. I'm sure there's someone who specializes.
I just feel like we shouldn't even talk about it, you know?
Yeah. And a year's a really long time. So much can happen.
So long.
So much can happen.
It's so long. Yeah. Let's just not.
I'm glad you had a great birthday. That was what we endeavored.
It was really great because of you. And all my family, everybody made it so special. I got great gifts, great curds, great photos posted of me on Instagram.
So true.
What else could you ask from a birthday, honestly?
It's so true.
Right?
Yeah, we had a good time.
So now that that's behind us, we're looking forward.
We are.
We've got a great show today.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't been in studio in a bit.
Since Thursday?
I can't remember.
Yeah, we didn't come in on Friday. Thursday.
Thursday. So we've got lots to do. You know, what's new with you, Jax?
Oh, lots new with me. I've been celebrating my sister's birthday, so that took up a lot of my time. Of course. But I'm so excited because I am doing something really exciting tomorrow
that I
haven't shared on the podcast, but I shared on my Instagram. I'm doing Talk Shop Live tomorrow, which is like live shopping, like
home
QVC
shopping
vibes, but it's all online. So the link is in my bio and it's on my stories, and I'll keep sharing it until tomorrow. But it's tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern time. I will be going live selling signed copies of my book for pre-order, The Camper and the Counselor. So that is right now the only place where you could get a signed copy. And also the live stream is going to be so much fun. We're going to be in studio. I'm going to have some special guests.
Yeah, like spoil. I don't want to spoil anything, but like big celebrities dropping by.
Big celebrities dropping by.
And that's kind of all the information you're going to get.
Yeah, it's going to be a really fun stream. So again, the link will be available anywhere I post links. And we're going to have a great time. So I'm really excited about that.
Oh, it's also Prime Day.
I know. I'm overwhelmed already.
I know. Last year, I got my Kindle. I'm like, it was such a good purchase. I got the Kindle Oasis, which is on sale today if anybody's looking for one. I get so overwhelmed with Prime Day. And then I always fuck it up.
I always just like get nothing. I think last year I got like pickleball rackets, actually.
It's actually pretty good.
That's a pretty good one.
Are pickleball rackets like expensive? Like good ones?
They vary, but okay. I've not seen like a good one is not
crazy.
No,
like a good tennis racket is like $1 million.
Yeah. And they're like custom.
Right. Maybe I'll get one with my name on it. Dirty.
No, like your tennis racket has to be like fitted for your height and your size hand. The pickleball rackets, you could just get like a nice one on Amazon.
Oh, that's a good one.
They're one size fits all.
I feel like people are always getting vacuums on Prime Day.
Oh, do I need a vacuum? No, but I saw a while ago a reel of like someone power washing their shower. With like a power washer.
Was it like a steam mop or like a power washer?
Like neither. It was like a long stick with like a round brush at the
end. Yeah, I've seen those on TikTok.
And I just feel like I need one. But I don't want to, I probably won't get anything this Prime Day because I'm not going to like send it all to Florida.
Right.
Like, I don't need it right now. And like, I just don't need those things right now. So I might have to sit this Prime Day out.
Damn.
Unless it's something that I could like use right now. But I have, as Kindle's always reminding me, because I've been switching back and forth on my like reading Kindles, depending if I'm out, I use my small one. If I'm home, I use my big one. And they're like, do you want to go back to the place from Jacqueline's fourth Kindle? I'm like, damn. Why do you have to say it like that? It was getting rude.
It's getting rude.
It's like when you get AirPods. It's like Jacqueline's fifth AirPods. It's like, okay, we don't have to count.
Yeah, no, that's rude.
It's rude.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
And I know where all four Kindles are, by the way, and I use three of them. One of them is defunct. Like, it's done.
Don't I have one of yours?
I think I got it back at one point.
No, it's still in my house. I used it the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
You honestly, you just can never have enough Kindles.
Yeah. So I just felt like that was shady.
That is shady.
Like, we come up with another name for it. Like, Jacqueline's big Kindle. Jacqueline's travel little Kindle.
Jackie's, like, cutest little mimi Kindle.
Jackie's first exciting Kindle.
Jackie's firstborn.
The Kindle that made Jackie fall in love with Kindles.
The Kindle that made Jackie who she is.
Yeah, it's so true.
So true. So there's lots of news.
There is.
You know, because weekend was big.
It was. I think I got everything, the top five.
We've got Ruthie.
We do.
We've got Sex Lives of College Girls, which I really need to get into.
We have The Flip Heard Around the World.
The Flip. Oh, my God. We haven't done an episode since The Flip. Okay. So I feel like we should just, like, dive in, honestly. Okay.
You're ready?
Here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
Oh. And it's wife swap.
Oh, my God.
Wife swap.
Sorry. Do it again.
Without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
Oh my God, not me like being out of control. I'm so sorry.
No,
like,
it's okay.
I mean, I took a day off and I forgot who I was.
Like, you know, sometimes you just gotta fuck it up. Do your worst.
So true. All right, well, today's episode, Our Worst, is brought to you by Honey. Today's episode is sponsored by PayPal Honey, the easy way to save money when shopping on your iPhone or computer. It only takes a few seconds to download Honey, and that means if you go to add it to your laptop or your iPhone right now, you could be done before this ad is even over. And you know what else works fast? Honey's deal-finding abilities. It is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes, applies the best ones it finds to your cart, and really just saves the day every time. Here's how it works. Imagine you're shopping at one of your favorite sites on the internet. You check out, the Honey button will appear, and all you have to do is click apply coupons. Wait a few seconds as Honey searches for coupons that it can find for that website, and if they find a working coupon, you will just watch the prices drop. I have saved money on clothes, on makeup, on food, electronics, like pretty much every time I shop online, I like forget Honey's even there, and then that little dancing coin comes up. He's like, hey, Turdy, want to save some money? I click apply coupons. Seconds later, I'm a free woman, and I've saved money, and I feel better about it. So Honey also now doesn't even just work on desktops. It also works on your iPhone. You can activate it on the Safari app on your phone, and you can save money on the go. I'm always shopping online now because I love using Apple Pay. So Honey is just kind of doing the most for everyone at all times of day. Getting Honey seriously only takes a few seconds. By getting it, you're doing yourself a solid and you're supporting the toast. Get PayPal Honey for free when you go to joinhoney.com/toast. That's joinhoney, J-O-I-N, honey, H-O-N-E-Y.com/toast. joinhoney.com/toast. There's really no reason. I'm not going to sit here and explain it to you like you guys are stupid. Like, it's really obvious. Just do it. Today's episode is also brought to you by Liquid IV, the number one powered hydration brand in America, and it's now available in sugar-free. It's years in the making. The Hydration Multiplier sugar-free version uses a proprietary zero-sugar hydration solution with no artificial sweeteners. With three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus eight vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, Liquid IV hydrates two times faster than water alone. Keep your daily routine exciting with three new flavors, white peach, green grape, and lemon lime. If you know and love Liquid IV, then definitely check out their zero-sugar hydration solution. It's fabulous. It's amazing for hangovers and migraines or fatigue, exhaustion, dehydration, whatever reason. It's never like a bad time to be hydrated. You know, but it's so hard. It's so hard to keep up with hydration. I literally like was going to bed yesterday and I was like, oh my God, I haven't drank one sip of water today. Like, it was so crazy. So it could just get away from you. And Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV is always there for you. You pour one stick of Liquid IV into 16 ounces of water, and it'll hydrate you two times faster and more efficiently than water alone. The result of an extensive research and development process to perfect the flavor and efficacy, Liquid IV combines science-backed zero-sugar technology with the brand's commitment to delicious, real flavors. It's non-GMO, and it's free from gluten, dairy, and soy. It has no artificial sweeteners and zero sugar. They also are partnering with leading organizations to fund and foster innovative solutions that help communities protect both their water and their futures. Real people, real flavor, real hydration. Now sugar-free, grab Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TOAST at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you use promo code TOAST at liquidiv.com.
Thank you, Claudia.
You're welcome.
You know what we should get for Prime Day? Some big fans, because this summer is
not...
not going to be going our way.
I like that a lot.
If we have to sit here like this.
Yeah, I like that. I can never have enough like fans in my house.
I'm wearing shorts today and it makes no difference.
Oh, my fan just died. Oh, that's terrible. I have a mini fan.
But our spirits did not.
Wait, the fan is on. And it died. Okay, cool.
But your spirits did not.
The speaker died. The speaker died, but our spirits did not.
Love self-reference.
When my fan dies, my spirit dies.
Yeah. Well, it's a little early in the show for your spirit to die, so.
Okay, it's back. She's alive. She's alive.
Our first story is a journey. Jonah Hill's ex, Sarah Brady, claims he was emotionally abusive. She says it's been a year of healing. So over the past, I would say 5 days, Jonah Hill's ex, Sarah Brady, who he broke up with like about a year ago, and then he started dating someone more recently that we reported on, and they just had a baby together. But she's speaking out about their relationship and alleging that the actor was, quote, emotionally abusive during their time together. In a series of Instagram story posts made between Friday and Saturday, the surf instructor shared multiple screenshots of various alleged text message exchanges between herself and the 39-year-old actor. She said, quote, "This is a warning to all girls. If your partner is talking to you like this, make an exit plan. Call me if you need an ear." She showed the text messages from Jonah. It's alleged from Jonah, but they're from Jonah. Asking her to take down any surfing photos from her Instagram with her, quote, ass in a thong. After she deleted all the posts, he told her allegedly it was a good start, but didn't seem to get his point. She shared a lot of screenshots. One that's going very viral is him saying this.
It's like a list, right?
It's a list. He said, plain and simple. If you need surfing with men, boundaryless inappropriate friendships with men, to model, to post pictures of yourself in a bathing suit, to post sexual pictures, friendships with women who are in unstable places and from your wild recent past beyond getting a lunch or coffee or something respectful, then I am not the right partner for you. If these things bring you to a place of happiness, I support it and there will be no hard feelings. These are my boundaries for a romantic partnership. My boundaries with you based on the ways these actions have hurt our trust.
By the way, not him being like so crazy, but like kind of respectful about it. Like, do you know what I mean?
Right. No, he's like setting boundaries, which is, you know, a
thing you should do.
People should do. And it's very encouraged. And okay, maybe his boundaries are not what, you know, your boundaries would be, or even something that you would, that would work for you in a relationship. But like, it's, he's trying to like speak
his truth.
Also, so the ex-girlfriend has been posting a lot of screenshots and also like a lot of, like, you know, using big words. She said he's a misogynist, I think narcissist. What else?
Emotional abuser,
which we have. And so she's sharing a lot of the screenshots, which like are not flattering for Jonah. And people are like, Jonah Hill is canceled.
So when I saw this, I immediately thought of the conversation we had a mere few weeks ago about, you brought up how he has this like fetish for normies.
Yeah, like he's always dating someone who is a complete normal person. Like he's never dated a fellow celebrity. Like it's always a normal normie.
And knowing that he has these like, you know, crazy boundaries and like is looking for a very specific type of partner, it actually makes a lot of sense why he's, you know, in the normie pool, because him being a celebrity and like a wealthy person puts him in a position of power, and he clearly, you know, has these rules that he wants his partners to follow. So it immediately made me think of that. And of course, it made me think of Ruthie.
Of course. Well, everyone, as it pertains to the toast, justice for Ruthie, of course, because this is not a man that I personally would want to be in a relationship with. But my thoughts about this story have ebbed and flowed throughout the weekend.
Okay.
Because I feel like when I first saw that this was making headlines, that she was like posting the screenshots and stuff, and I hadn't read them yet, I was like, that's kind of like weird to post like your boyfriend's
personal
text messages. And I think some people are also like taking issue with that. It's not like he like said this in any
public
forum, like,
because everyone is recently talking about Keke Palmer's man, who said pretty much the same thing in his own way
publicly
on Twitter, which was like, yikes.
Yeah. So, and this is like when you're in a relationship with someone, like you hope that you can text them and like that stays private. So then I read the text messages and I was like, woof, like these are not
Yikesville.
And by the way, I personally like don't like Jonah Hill. I don't like dislike him, but I don't like him. So I really don't have a horse in this race.
Right.
And like, if he goes down, like,
not your problem.
Not my problem.
No, you will not lose sleep.
But then I was reading the text message and I was like, oh, like these are really intense. And like, that's kind of crazy, especially like I think he found her on Instagram through her surfing photos.
Wait, and he like joined the surfer like crew.
Right. And he like DM'd one of her photos to her with like hard eyes. And then like, those are the exact type of photos that he wants taken down now that they're in a relationship. So True. It's like a little hypocritical. I'm like, this is not good for Mr. Hill. But then an Instagram account that I follow called House and Habit, mm-hmm. She posts like such like long, she like takes care to
thought provoking
thought, like she just always has a take on something, and it's always just interesting and different from whatever the like mainstream line of thinking mm-hmm. is. So I'm just like, oh, okay. I was watching, and I guess she like knows the surfer community that you've discussed. Mm. And she was saying how this actually started like a year ago when Jonah got into the relationship with the new girl. This ex, Sarah Brady, started posting like old texts of them. And mm-hmm. What she was saying was like, oh, well, you were just like texting me 5 weeks ago, and now you're in a relationship. And like, she's been kind of like trying to expose him for the last year and like changed her tune to all of this recently. Mm-hmm. And like, it's also now that he's just had a baby. Like Right. It's the timing is kind of weird. And I would encourage, if you'd like want to know more about the situation, to just watch her highlight on Jonah Hill, House and Habit, because it was just more context to the situation. And now I'm just like questioning, and Sarah Brady did post about this, but like why she would post all this now, like he literally just had a baby.
Yeah.
And these texts have been in existence for over a year.
Right.
But she said, this is what she said about the baby thing, because I think people were like asking Wondering. Her that question. She said that she waited until his partner gave birth before she released the screenshots of aggressive text messages. Quote, I didn't want her to have to see all of this while she was pregnant because I didn't know what kind of stress that would cause her and her baby physically. She also admitted that while the timing can seem bad, she hoped that Olivia Millar, the girl, mm-hmm. Saw the post so she could make an informed decision of how she wants to care for herself and her baby.
Yikes. Yeah, I mean, again, I agree with your sentiment. I don't have a particularly strong positive or negative feeling about Jonah Hill. Like, I like some of his work. Is he my favorite celebrity? No. And I find, what I find most interesting about this whole situation is, like, what was it, literally a year ago, where, like, Jonah Hill did this, like, whole documentary with his therapist. Mm-hmm. And he's, like, those text messages are, like, something like his boundaries or whatever you want to call them are like nuts. So he's like using all this like therapy. Like, honestly, I think that this is a really bad look for therapy. Like,
I agree.
Because this is, in my opinion, like what too much therapy does to a person. Like, you become nuts and you think like you can use these words like
and if
boundaries.
You use these words and you speak like therapy speak, that,
you're right.
That all of your feelings should be validated.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, you shouldn't. Like, part of being in a relationship is compromise. So like, let's say, you know, her being in a thong bikini is something that makes you uncomfortable, but for her it's liberating and it's a part of her job. Like, that's something in a relationship you would compromise on. But he's so up his therapist's ass making a documentary about it, like he thinks that he's entitled. So honestly, I was like, damn, like there is a thing as too much therapy.
Yeah, 100%. And it's like, if he couches his qualms in therapy language and she couches hers in therapy, then they're like,
they're both right. Like,
who wins? Like, we're out there. Like, whose feelings are more important when feelings are so important?
It's not a good look for Stutz.
No.
His therapist.
I'm just learning about this documentary now. I don't care.
It was like a crazy
Did
thing.
Did you watch it?
No, but I saw the trailer and it was like, basically the concept was like Jonah Hill, like, I'm healed. And here's a documentary on me and my therapist who helped get me here.
Got it. Well, that's even crazier now that it's like
crazy.
Clearly he's, you know, intense.
Not, yeah, intense.
Perfect intense. Word. I wouldn't want, this wouldn't work for me.
But now, not to make everything about us, you know, we set out many, many years ago with the goal of getting justice for David Foster. Mm-hmm. And we did that, right? Mm-hmm. When Sarah and Aaron Foster came on The Toast, we feel as though justice was served. Now, I do feel like justice was served for Ruthie in this situation. Like, really, Ruthie dodged a bullet. Like, he doesn't seem like so pleasant to be in a relationship with. And, you know, there's a cover for every pot. But I don't think that cover was Ruthie, because Ruthie was kind of this like independent, free spirited girl.
Really? I don't know Ruthie.
If I know Ruthie, like, I think I know Ruthie. Or maybe she was a traditional queen who wanted to be, you know, wifed up.
Also, from these text messages that she shared, it was very clear that he really wanted to start a family.
He's, like, very, yeah.
And I think that's probably, if you, like, read between the lines, probably what was one of their biggest issues in their relationship.
Yes.
Where it was, like, he literally would have, you know, gotten her pregnant that day.
Yeah.
If she had been ready. And it's clearly, like, she wasn't ready, and that's not something she wanted. And when he entered into a new relationship, it was the first thing
Immediate.
He did. And so it's, like, at least his actions now are like congruous with what he said that he wanted, which was just to be like a family man.
Yeah.
But still, an intense person speaking in an annoying fucking language couldn't be me.
Yeah, and I hate to like doubt someone's experience, but I think we need to be really like careful about how we use language, because I, based on those text messages, he doesn't seem like an emotionally abusive person. He seems emotionally manipulative, like he seems crazy, but I think like, you know, we just have to be careful about labels and language. I
mean, yeah, that's what we've been saying. Also, like everyone now, if you break up with someone, they're a narcissist. Like, does anybody know what the word narcissist means?
No, let me tell you, the only person on the planet who is allowed to call their ex a narcissist is Ariana Maddox. No, not the only person on the planet, but I'm saying a recent example of like a person who everyone was using that language for Tom Sandoval, misogynist, narcissist. And there's like actual history from the last 10 years proving that he is that person.
For sure. You know? Does anyone know what narcissist means? Like, because honestly, I don't even.
I do.
I don't go around slinging it.
I do. I can't. It's like one of those words you can't really explain.
But like, that's the problem. All of these big words, like,
yeah,
people overuse them and abuse them and they start to mean nothing. Gaslight, trauma, boundaries.
Yeah. No, they're like, it's these therapy words that, I'm telling you, this is like not a good look for therapy.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I even see it in like, not even with celebrity culture, like in day-to-day life, like I'll be talking to a girlfriend, they're like, he was a narcissist. I'm like, what did he do?
No, I think people, in the way that like gaslighting became code for like someone who just lies or somebody you disagree with, narcissist now I think is code word for someone who's just like self-involved.
No, I don't. I think it's just like someone, like anytime someone does something that like you, that didn't like make you happy, is just like a narcissist.
Yeah. No, like narcissist is like a clinical word.
It's like someone who's like,
like a serial killers are narcissists.
Yeah, it's a word like sociopath, like it means something extreme.
And we don't know like, what it means.
It's like a condition.
It's like an illness.
Let's Google the definition.
Not even an illness. It's like a personality, like disorder.
Yes. Narcissistic personality disorder.
Thank you.
Is a pattern of self-centered, arrogant thinking and behavior, a lack of empathy and consideration for other people, and an excessive need for admiration. People also often describe people with NPD as cocky, manipulative, selfish, patronizing, and demanding. But yeah, like that part, like a lack of empathy and consideration for other people. It's like if someone did something to you that like hurt you, you could say they didn't have empathy for you and they're a narcissist.
Right. No, but, like, yeah.
They're not.
It's a little bit of like a jump.
Yeah, it's a jump. So that's just like what I've noticed.
No, you're recently. Right. It's a new buzzword. That everyone's using, and it loses its meaning when it does.
To describe like their ex who behaved in a way that like obviously made them upset enough to break up with them.
That was unfavorable.
That was unfavorable.
Yeah, no, it's taking the gaslight journey.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, like everyone was just like gaslight.
Trauma. Trauma's up there.
Yeah, trauma.
Like trauma used to be like for, you know,
clinical, for like therapists.
Post-traumatic stress disorder, right. Like, you know, vets.
Oh, is there a fire in the building? The alarm's going off. I feel like it's fine. Like, the alarm in this building is always going off.
We could, like, just make sure there's not.
Don't, yeah, maybe peek your head out in the hallway, see if anybody's running.
Maybe smell for smoke.
Oh, yeah.
I don't smell anything.
No, and the alarm stopped. I'm telling you, the alarm is so dramatic. Like, nothing's going on. Like, we're fine.
Yeah. So, Jonah Hill had a really bad
How do we feel?
I know that like my take
is like a hot one.
Is not gonna be popular, but I just like don't feel like it's so cut and dry, like this is an evil bad man.
Well, also I feel like when you're in a relationship with someone, you obviously text all the time and you have like serious conversations via text. So to like selectively screenshot certain parts of the conversation, like it's always gonna be at an angle. Mm-hmm. And of course those are not a good look for Jonah, and I would never be in a relationship with that type of person. But it's important to keep in mind, like, what we're seeing.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, when you are in a relationship with someone, like, especially he seems like a stream of conscious texter. Like, the craziest part to me is, like, 10 in a row.
Yeah, no, it's a lot.
But, like, you think it's a safe place. You're talking to your girlfriend, like, mm-hmm. not, like, that the whole world is going to see these things one day. So it's just kind of.
But, you know, Jonah, this is a consequence of normie life. Like, a fellow celebrity would never, you know, leak text messages because they know the importance of privacy.
Yes and no. I feel like it could go both ways. Like maybe a fellow celebrity wouldn't, but a fellow celebrity also has the platform to speak what happened to them, even if they do like a podcast and like allude to what happened. Whereas he might think that by dating normies, they don't have that sort of reach and that no one would like listen to them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
And I also don't care, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a Jonah Hill girly, like, by any means. So it's like, bye, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's how, like, that's how I feel, too. This isn't, like, a loss for me. If
right.
It, if, but I also just feel like people are making it a little bit, like, more than it is. When it's like, okay, so he's, like,
a freak.
I don't even know what to call him because I'm not going to abuse words.
Right, right.
But just, like, I don't want to date him.
Yeah, right, right. Like, I wouldn't, but good luck to you.
Yeah.
There's and a cover for every lid, whatever the word
it's
is.
It's true.
A lid for every pot.
It's true. Are you ready for our next story?
Are we talking about the devastating news about Renee Rapp? Because honestly, no. I'm not. Okay, got it, because I'm not ready to talk about it.
Yeah, no, we're keeping it, you know, high level. There's an announcement happening.
What'd you say?
Did I didn't get one word from
no,
that.
Me neither. Like,
but I feel it didn't sound urgent.
Yeah, she said thank you.
You know, why don't you go down and yeah, text? Text what?
Yeah, text us. Be like, hey, girlie, is there
we'll
a fire?
Keep, yeah, we'll keep doing the show.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think there's a fire.
No, but just text us.
Okay, moving on.
Moving
so
on.
So much drama back in studio.
So much drama.
Not to make like the fire about us, but it's almost
it's
like
kind they, of like they don't want us to talk about Jonah Hill.
Oh my God, it's a conspiracy. Literally.
This weekend, big news out of Kansas City. Taylor Swift took her talents to Kansas City, and it was a big Speak Now weekend, couple of highlights. Long Live is now added to the set list. Pray for Counselor Snitch. She premiered a music video for one of her vault songs called I Can See You with Joey King, Presley Cash, and Taylor Lautner, who joined Taylor on stage.
They all did.
Of course, but I don't care about the other ones who joined Taylor on stage and did a flip.
Okay, let's start from the beginning. Long Live being added to the set list. It's unclear if that was like a Kansas City weekend thing or if it's going to be permanent moving forward. I have to imagine it's permanent. There's a lot of like rage from the fandom that like all, you know, all there's been like 30 shows already. Like, what about us? She's played to over 2 million people. Like, what about the 2 million people? I get the symbolism of the song and how she wanted to wait till she owned it to sing it. Like, I totally get it. But like, am I annoyed? Yes. Like, I went to 3 shows and I didn't hear it once. Moving on. But I think it's better than her playing it as a surprise song.
For just one people.
Right. One people, yes. next, the music video. The music video was very good. I like that song, I Can See You. And it was obviously just like all about getting her music back. There was like a bunch of hidden codes. It was like a fun thing. It wasn't that serious. I really liked it. And I loved how she brought back a Taylor Lautner, who's kind of a hero of the Speak Now era. Because he's really, I believe, the only person that Taylor has written a song about where she's literally apologizing to them. She's not like, you know, demanding an apology. She's apologizing. And I think, you know, the way him and Taylor's relationship has aged has been really good for him. He kind of has like a reputation of being a pijam and, you know, not to make everything about me, but you know, Ben and I are actually really good friends with him and his wife and they're delightful and he really is like this lovely guy.
You would validate that he's a pijam?
I can co-sign that he's like an incredibly kind, nice person and definitely treated Taylor with the utmost respect. And so to see them like all these years later reunite in like this really precious way where like he's married, you know, he's totally moved on. She's had just getting out of a 6-year relationship. Like it's not like a ooh, will they or won't they thing. It's like a true friendship out of like, you know, love and respect and they have this history together. And it was really very sweet and full circle. And, you know, a fun fact about Taylor Lautner, and I don't even know if he did it for Twilight, but they showcased it in Twilight. I think it was like just a passion of his to get into martial arts. So a lot of the stunts he did in Twilight were all him. The stunts he did in the music video were, you know, martial artsy, were all him. And I think he just wanted to honor that when he got out on stage. And he said he didn't even plan to do it, but there's kind of a long walk from they opened these doors for all the guests, for Joey King and Presley and
who's
Taylor.
Presley, by the way?
She was in the Mean music video along with Joey King. As beyond that, I'm not sure.
That's what I got because I looked at her Instagram and said, I'm in the Mean music video.
Yeah. So they opened the doors when Taylor announced them. And there's probably like a 1,000-foot walk, I would guess, like 1,000 feet. We all clear? Yeah. There's no fire. Okay, great. There's like a big long walk. And so it's kind of awkward. Like it's kind of, it happens a lot on talk shows where people are like, hi, oh, like they don't know what to do. So Taylor did a flip and I respect the hell out of it.
No, I could see how that could happen. Like you walk out, there's 70,000 people there.
Yeah.
Do a flip.
Do a flip.
Like,
he landed.
Just get hyped up. I mean, what if he didn't
land? No, I know.
I was thinking about that.
I think he's been doing martial arts for like 20 years.
It doesn't matter. What if the stage, like he did a cartwheel first into his flip. Like what if it was slippery? He put his hand down, slip.
But it's Taylor's stage. Like it's perfect, you know?
I'm just saying.
No, it was a brave thing to do.
It could have been catastrophic.
Also, like to do backflips and such, like not on like, you know, a foam board always freaks me out. Like you could snap your neck.
No, that worries me less. He could have like stumbled and embarrassed himself.
Yeah, but he didn't.
But instead he crushed it.
Crushed it. It was a really full circle, like sweet, amazing moment for the fandom, honestly. He's so cute and sweet. Like it was fabulous.
It was really cute. So Speak Now is here.
I've listened to the Vault songs a bunch more times. A clear front runner for me is When Emma Falls in Love. Close second is Electric Touch. But I haven't like lived with them long enough to even remotely like have like a ranking or anything.
Got it. I was giving you my hot take on the Vault songs yesterday.
Jackie actually had a really...
Everyone's just going to hate me today, like with all my takes.
Just do it.
Okay, here I go.
No, what you're about to say is not negative. It's actually like an interesting point.
Okay, because I'm like so, like I said on Friday, like we've all been in competition about who Speak Now meant the most for. So like, I love this album. The songs are amazing. My issue with the Vault songs, I felt this way about Fearless too. I don't know if I was able to figure out why I felt this way and articulate it, if I ever said it on the show, but I do feel this way about Speak Now. I did not feel this way about Red, which I think will make sense. But it's just like, I'm not like loving hearing like mature Taylor sing these songs that she wrote when she was
more 15 immature.
Speak Now is not 15.
She's probably like 17,
just like
18,
immature,
19.
You know, love songs,
right?
Which at the time with the Speak Now songs, when I listened to them, like those were felt like mature feelings for me. I feel like the music that she writes now, like on Midnights, is just so,
and like Evermore, it's like so elevated.
They're such big thoughts. And so to listen to new music that's written by like a teenager, sung by an older person, and I'm supposed to relate to it now, it just like doesn't really do it for me.
And you know what, that's totally fair.
Yeah,
it's fine.
No, and like, it's fine.
That's not like a hot take. Like, that makes sense.
But I didn't feel that way about Red because,
the Vault songs were amazing.
The Vault songs were amazing. I feel like the most memorable Vault song is really the All Too Well 10-minute version.
Oh, I don't count that as like a Vault song.
I know, but like, that's what I think about what we got from Red, 10-minute version.
Oh, I think of I Bet You Think About Me and Message in a Bottle is All I Can Do.
Yeah, like, I never added A Message in a Bottle to my liked.
Oh, by the way, you're so wrong for that.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like,
it's a Carly Rae Jepsen like pussy popping pop song.
No, I know. And they're good songs, and I hope everyone enjoys them. I'm just saying, like, for me, I can't like get back into that headspace. Like, she's writing Mastermind now. I'm
I understand. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's like, fair.
So
that's not a hot take. It's really not.
Yeah, so that's why like the Vault songs don't necessarily do it for me. But I'm loving, you know, re-entering the Speak Now era.
So they say that When Emma Falls in Love is about Emma Stone and Andrew Garfield. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you think about that? I didn't even really, like, I know that they've like, been friendly over the years, but I didn't think that they were so close. And when Taylor played it in Kansas City, she played it for one of the surprise songs. She said, I wrote this song about one of my best friends.
Best friends? I could see them being best friends. They're so...
But, like, they never get, like, photographed together? Don't you think that's crazy?
No.
Okay.
I could see it.
And have you listened to When Emma Falls in Love?
Like half of it, but I was shaving my legs and the water was really loud, so I couldn't really hear it.
Okay, tell me if anyone else feels this way. Like, I keep singing When Emma Falls in Love and then accidentally singing Jump Then Fall.
Oh, I do that all the time
when
with Taylor
Emma falls
songs.
In love, I love each freckle on your face. Oh,
I do that all the time with Taylor songs.
It's really confusing me. But I believe When Emma Falls in Love has sampled Drops of Jupiter, which was a famous song of Taylor's in the Speak Now era. She covered it. Oh, thank you. I'm so glad I brought this up. I had something I wanted to bring up after you kind of like tried to drag my Stanhood on the toast on Friday.
Okay.
You were like, you only became activated like... whenever. No, I couldn't believe I forgot this. I remember like how and why I became the biggest Taylor Swift fan. I believe what year did Speak Now come out?
2010.
The year was 2010. I was forced to run an errand for our mother to go to Radio Shack, which was one of my least favorite fucking errands to run. And I was like pissed about it.
Young Sheldon would not be happy.
Oh, we need to talk about that. Okay. I went to Radio Shack. I remember I was like, I think our house phone was like broken. I had to like buy a new house phone. I was like so pissed that this was my problem. And when I was checking out, I like got, you know, her credit card, which was like such a great feeling. And right by the register, they were selling a Speak Now concert DVD and I bought it. Just to like kind of stick it to mom being like, oh, you made me go. I'm buying this $10 DVD. When I tell you I still have that DVD, I must have watched it no less than 500 times.
I didn't know that.
It activated a level of psychoticness in me. And that's where I can't believe I forgot to bring that up. It's such an pertinent piece of information. Fuck Radio Shack.
I know that. I remember that. It played on loop in our house, uh-huh. like in every room. Mm-hmm. Everyone loved it.
Oh my God.
Loved it.
It was my thing. It stayed in my room. It's in my house still. I literally have the DVD at my house. Don't even try.
Okay, but that is not...
I bought it.
That is not incongruous to what I was saying. Like, you've always been a Swiftie and a fan of her music.
Seriously, like, you're right. Your takes today are horrible. Just shut up.
No, I didn't say they were bad. I think said that's what they you were said. Hot. A few years ago, you became like... But even when you were like on the... Watching the DVD, you weren't like on Tumblr with the other fans. No, but that doesn't fans. Make... No, but now you've become one of those fans.
No, I haven't. I'm very level-headed. There is a big group of us, the level-headed Swifties. We exist. We just don't get attention because we're not crazy.
Okay. Young Sheldon?
Oh, my God. Okay. Jackie finally started Young Sheldon. Like, I finished it over the weekend. Me and Ben actually restarted it because Jackie was starting it. So I want to, like, go on the journey with you. Tell me your thoughts on everything. It's literally the best sitcom on TV.
Obsessed. He's so precious. And it's what's so funny is, like, so often, like, my heart just, like, goes out to him. I feel, like, sorry for him because he's obviously, like,
different.
Very different and isolated. Like, he doesn't have, you know, peers.
Yep.
He's peerless.
He finds peers. Don't worry.
But he doesn't give a shit. No. Like, even when he finally gets, like, or something happens, his dad is, like, proud of him. He's like, thanks, dad. Like, he's not, like, waiting around for his dad to be proud of him.
No, not at all. He's very
like,
fulfilled.
His dad brings in the game ball, and he's like, it's dirty.
Yeah.
Like, he's not, like, sitting there waiting for his dad to, like, notice him. Like, he's very fulfilled in his own interior life. So it's like, you don't really need to feel sorry for him.
Let me tell you what's so great about the show. Because, like, the first two seasons, the kid is so cute who plays young Sheldon. Like, it's really all about Sheldon. But they're very smart that, like, he won't be like that tiny forever. And if you know the character Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory, he's moronic. He's so annoying. He's so rude. He's so self-righteous. So he obviously has to become that young Sheldon. He has to become big Sheldon. So in the later seasons, he becomes insufferable and like rude and condescending. But while you're watching Precious Sheldon, you don't realize the show is making you fall in love with every other character in the show. So that by the time Sheldon becomes like the insufferable person that he is, you don't even care. He's not even barely like in the show anymore. The other characters, you tune in for them. For Georgie, for Connie, for George Sr. Like, that's the beauty of the show.
Well, I can't wait. And last night, the episode that I watched, Elon was in it.
Yeah.
He stole Sheldon's journal.
I know, and stole the idea.
It was so funny.
I know. Like, I knew you were going to die. I knew you were going to love the show. I'm so happy. It's perfect bed rest show. Don't you agree?
Does he come back again? Actually, I've been watching it, like, maybe 2 to 3 episodes at a time. Like, I don't have these, like, Zach and I watch it together at night before we go to sleep. So it's, like, not that much time. We're not, like, binging it.
Yeah.
We're just, like, enjoying it.
What episodes did you watch last night?
So he, like, the NASA episode where he's, like, has to prove this guy wrong. Mm-hmm. And... The football episode where he's like
helping
his dad's
grandma
statistics.
So good.
Yeah.
I love the show. It's literally the best show.
Yeah, it's really, really good and really sweet.
Precious.
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 Are you ready for our next story?
No.
No, you're not.
Is it our next story that's brought to you by Stamps.com? Perhaps.
It is.
When every person, moment, and penny counts in your business, you can't afford to take any of them for granted. Stamps.com gets it because for the last 25 years, they've been helping businesses like yours save time and money. You can focus on your business knowing Stamps.com has all your postage needs covered with premium discounts and great rates. So the Stamps.com is a post office in your office. With Stamps.com, all you need is a computer and a printer. They'll send you a free scale even, so you'll have everything you need to get started. If you need a package picked up, you can easily schedule it through Stamps.com on the dashboard. If you sell products online, Stamps.com seamlessly connects with every major marketplace and shopping cart. They also offer premium discounts because running a business is not cheap, especially when it comes to fulfilling orders from your customers. Luckily, Stamps.com has huge carrier discounts up to 84% off USPS and UPS rates. Plus, Stamps.com automatically tells you your cheapest and fastest shipping options. They've been your postage partner for the last 25 years. For 25 years, Stamps.com has been an indispensable resource for over a million businesses. You get access to USPS and UPS services that you need right from your computer anytime, day or night. There's no lines, there's no traffic, and there's no waiting. So set your business up for success when you get started with Stamps.com today. Stamps.com has just been like literally saving lives, ours included. Like, it's so convenient, it's so easy. It's really a great way to save money and also like not have to, you know, walk to the post office multiple times a day. Sign up with promo code Toast for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. There are no long-term commitments or contracts required. Just go to stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the homepage, and enter code Toast. Today's episode is also brought to you by Boll & Branch. Boll & Branch makes the softest, most luxurious sheets without any toxins or harsh chemicals. They use the finest 100% organic cotton that's traceable from family farm to your family home, and they have a natural unmatched softness and that gets softer with every wash. We are Boll & Branch girlies. We have been for years. We've been telling you about it, and every time one of you guys finally listens to us, you're like, oh my God, I wish I got Boll & Branch sooner. Well, here is the sign you could possibly need. Need a bedroom refresh? Are you moving? You just want new sheets because your old ones aren't cutting it? Boll & Branch is the place to go. Your bedding shouldn't be any different from anything else in your house, the best of the best. So start investing in your best sleep with Boll & Branch. They feel buttery and breathable on night one, and they get softer and softer for years to come. They're made to last with the rarest 100% organic cotton. Boll & Branch sheets are an upgrade that you'll never regret. Boll & Branch signature hemmed sheets, which is what Jackie and I have, is their bestseller, and it's for a reason. They get softer with every wash. They're made with the highest quality 100% organic cotton threads on earth. They're loved by millions of sleepers. They have over 11,000 reviews, and they're so luxurious, they've even been beloved by 4 U.S. presidents. So Boll & Branch sheets come in 10 different versatile colors and sizes, from twin up to California King. They're made without toxins. They're free from synthetic pesticides, formaldehyde, and other harsh chemicals. They offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee with free shipping and returns on all U.S. orders. So sleep better at night with Boll & Branch sheets. For a limited time, you can get early access to their annual summer event. Use code TOAST to get 20% off today at BollAndBranch.com. That's Boll & Branch, B-O-L-L-A-N-D, branch.com, promo code TOAST. Exclusions apply. See site for details. Take advantage. They don't have a ton of sales, but their summer event that they do every year is a great time to stock up. So code TOAST will get you 20% off today at BollAndBranch.com.
Thank you, Claudia.
You're welcome.
Our next story, Renee Rapp is leaving Sex Lives of College Girls in season 3. Leighton Murray is leaving Essex College. Renee Rapp will not be returning as a series regular to the Max Comedy, Variety has learned. Renee, who plays wealthy legacy student Leighton, will appear in a few episodes of season 3 as a recurring character, but will then depart the show. She posted a statement, you know, with love and support, right, on her Instagram. Didn't say much.
Mindy Kaling posted and being like, we can't wait to come see you on tour. I think it's very clear that she's choosing her music career over her acting career, and she's kind of putting all of her eggs in that basket. She's had a lot of success thus far. She released an EP this year that like really went viral on TikTok. She went on tour. I think the tour had sold out. It was a small tour, but it's like clearly she's kind of on like that Tate McRae pipeline, you know, from TikTok. Even though she's like an accomplished singer, she's from Broadway, the movement behind like her pop music comes from TikTok. Now, this is devastating. I absolutely love Sex Lives of College Girls. I think it's one of the best shows on TV right now. Leighton was one of my favorite. They're all great. I actually really like all of them. I don't have a favorite, and I don't think her leaving will like be the end of the show, because I do think like Kimberly and Bella, like all the girls, like they're good enough. Like I think they'll probably replace her with like a new roommate. But this is devastating. I don't think it's the end of the show, but it's a very brave choice. You know, this is a very popular show. It's very much, you know, in the zeitgeist. I think it's one of the number one shows on HBO Max, Max. And so this is a brave choice to kind of leave at the height. You know, I think a lot of people are comparing it to Regé Jean Paul, who left Bridgerton at the height, or who else left at the height of like their show? Like, some people it worked out for them and some people it didn't, you know?
Yeah, and it's also like a little early in the show. Like, yeah. I do think that if not done correctly, the show will suffer. If they don't, they obviously are going to have a new roommate because, you know, the suite sleeps four.
Right.
And they'll bring in someone, and that person will make or break, like, if the show can still be good. They can't be, like, an exact replacement for, like, Leighton's character. No. But they have to balance
The
four.
Yeah, I do think, like, I have a lot of faith in Mindy Kaling.
I have faith, too. I don't think that this means the end. And I agree, like, it really is a cast of equals. And yeah. Like, I wouldn't even say Leighton's like my, I love her. I don't think she's my favorite
Kimberly's
my favorite. So like, I could make this work.
Yeah.
But it just has to be done well. And I do have faith that they will do it well.
Me too. But I think it's kind of crazy because I feel like Sex Lives of College Girls will go down as like, for I mean, I think we might be like a little older in the demographic who watches it, but for like how we watch like Girls or like Sex in the City, like I think it's one of those shows, you know, four women characters, but it's one of those shows that like shapes a generation, and it's only in season two and it's so popular. I think this is a really big mistake on Renee Rapp's part.
I agree that I think it's a mistake, but I know that I enjoy the show and I know the Toasters, like we're always talking about it, but as far as like actual popularity, like,
yes.
How many viewers does it have?
I don't know.
Have
but
you ever seen?
It's enormously popular. You want me to look it up?
Yeah, I'm curious.
It's huge.
Is it? It always just felt like...
It feels like our show, but it's not. Everyone watches it.
Okay.
I hope so. Sex Lives of College Girls ratings. It's the best show on television.
Yeah.
I hate when you go to look. This happens to me all the time.
This is why I don't do it.
Wait, when you go to look for TV ratings on Google, literally Google will give you like Google users rated the show 3 stars. The fuck do I care?
No. How many people fucking watch it? Period. Question mark.
Like, I don't know how to, I can never
I know.
Find.
That's why this conversation is a moot point.
Oh, and just like that, and Sex Lives of College Girls bring big numbers for HBO Max, great, according to TVinsider.com.
Great. TV Insider, tell us more.
I'm looking for numbers. Right after And Just Like That, Mindy Kaling's Sex Lives of College Girls, whose final episode aired on December 9th, their ever-growing viewership increased 76% since its premiere.
That doesn't help me.
And then right after that, they're saying was Succession. So they're saying Sex Lives of College Girls is bigger than Succession.
Okay, that makes me feel good. But also, like, as we've stated, Succession isn't as big as it felt. But I'm glad that Sex Lives of College Girls is bigger.
No, it's reality. Huge. And I think every season that it comes out, like so much of the content goes viral that like they said, 76% in the first year. Like, I think it will be like one of the biggest shows of like, not like of people who are currently in college. Like, I love it, but I think it's intended for like slightly younger audience. And I think it'll be one of those shows, like how we all like think back on Girls, like even though like we all roll our eyes at it now, like at the time, oh my God, Girls was like everything.
Yeah, the only thing is, I feel like there are so many shows now and they all like exist in like a 6 week span that no one show can, yes, really like eclipse. You know, I think about like The Summer I Turned Pretty. Like there are so many, there are all those like Netflix shows with kids, like, yep, they're all really good, yep, and they all capture the time, but like, it's almost as if because there's so much content and like platforms that you can't stand out. One can't like dominate.
That's 100% true. But I'm telling you, if there was one, it's Sex Lives of College Girls. Like, it's so
that works
popular.
For me. That works for me.
It's the best show. Like, the way I cherish every episode that comes out, I'm like, I don't want to finish. And so I'm upset. I'm mad. And I don't know if this is the right career move. Like, there have been times where people have like left ensemble things to do their own and it's worked out for them. Hello, Harry Styles, you know? But it's a toss up and it's a brave choice and I'm not sure.
And it feels a little early.
Definitely. It's only been 2 seasons of the show.
Yeah.
I guess there can only be 4 seasons.
No, but it's not the whole school
year.
Yeah,
you're right. It's like a semester. There could be 8.
Yeah. Okay, well, we shall see what happens.
I think, I wish her the best. I love her music, but I think this is a mistake.
Yeah. Are you ready for our next story?
I guess.
Kim Kardashian brought the drama in a purple Dolce dress to the Dolce & Gabbana Alta Moda show in Italy on Saturday. Obviously, a lot of people. There's two big conversations happening. One, it's giving Speak Now.
Yep.
Two, Courtney.
La Dolce Vita.
Courtney is somewhere seething.
Yeah. I don't know why Courtney just doesn't go to these things, you know?
She always used to go to the show with Travis.
But now because Kim goes, she doesn't want to go?
I don't think it's that. I feel like there's probably a legit reason why she didn't go.
But she didn't go to Kim's show. And honestly, if she did, I think she, like, it would have been better for everyone.
I get why she didn't go to Kim's show. She was pissed.
Yeah, I know. But, like, she should have gone to this.
Yeah, maybe, like, she's pregnant, so maybe she doesn't want to travel. She's also didn't go to Italy with her family this year yet, like she always does.
That's true.
La Dolce Vita. So maybe she's not traveling. Like, yeah. I don't think she didn't go to not support.
Okay.
And also, this isn't Kim. This show has nothing to do with Kim. Kim just attended and looked sick.
Right. And looked like Taylor Swift on the cover of her new Speak Now Taylor's version. And everyone was quaking.
Yeah. And honestly, as you and I were saying, like, Kim really needed this after Michael Rubin's party.
Yeah. Well, the thing is what I really like, and I think we haven't even spoken about this nearly enough as we should, is the partnership with Dolce and Gabbana. Ben was like, are you sure it's not Dolce and Gabbana? I'm like, get out of here, Smelly. What are you talking about? Something that I think provides a lot of value to Kim in the partnership with Dolce & Gabbana is, like, Dolce & Gabbana is so, like, classically feminine, and, like, they don't do, like, new modern fashion, you know? They don't have any spandex in their line, you know? And she would never be seen wearing a gown like this. It's so traditional. It's so Elizabeth Taylor, like diamonds and a big gown. It's classic. And she doesn't dress like this. And to see her like this is so, she looks like the old Kim, like, she looks amazing. I've had enough of the spandex.
No, I agree.
And this is just like, look, if she dressed like this all the time, you know, what we would get, what kind of looks we would get.
Yeah.
And I know that she's always trying to be like ahead of her time. And I get that there's like a purpose, but I just like beautiful things. And this is beautiful.
Yeah, I agree.
So thank you, Dulce.
And thank you, Courtney.
Literally.
Yeah, because she wasn't doing this before, but... Yeah. I think it all works. I love this look. Also, I feel like a lot of the other Dolce looks that she's worn, she's like made them
her own.
Kimified them.
Yeah, because it was Kim X Dolce.
Yeah, even when she went for Courtney's wedding, like she found a spandex outfit mm-hmm. from Dolce. Like she was wearing Kim Dolce, period. This is just like totally Dolce, Italian, La Dolce Vita.
Fabulous.
Feminine. Glamorous, feminine. Like there's not a shred of spandex. That stylish that she loves. Yeah. Like, and it's nice to change things up.
I agree.
Especially when she flopped so hard last weekend.
Yeah. She looks amazing. Like, she looks amazing. I loved all the content from this Dolce & Gabbana weekend. They had fabulous people there, and everybody looked fabulous. And mm-hmm. I enjoyed consuming the content. So thank you, Dolce.
Why do you keep saying it like that? Because Ben told you to?
Yeah, he must be right. Ben's right about everything. Right, Ben?
Oh, wow. Wow, Olivia Culpo and Christian McCaffrey were there.
Fucking fabulous.
Obsessed.
Fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, it was just a beautiful weekend with beautiful people.
Yeah,
and I loved it.
Sat next to Rosie Huntington-Whiteley.
Another fabulous gal.
And Anita.
And Chris was there. Chris looked great.
Yeah.
It's so funny how, like, the event had nothing to do with Kim, but, like, the only thing I saw was, like, Kim.
I was seeing the event throughout the weekend, Instagram. And I was like, oh, this is nice. And I was also like wondering if Kim was going to go, but then she was like posting from some farm, and I was like, oh, I guess she's not living La Dolce Vita.
Right.
Boom.
Vita she dolce'd. It was fabulous, and it really was giving speak now. Like, I think people are always like jumping to like, and like they're wrong, but this really, like, it's almost identical.
Yeah.
And they said speak now. What do you think the Kardashian girlies are going to do when the Eras Tour rolls into town?
We talked about this.
What did we say?
My theory is that Khloé's going to take all the girls.
Got it. They have to, like, be a fan, right?
The kids?
Yeah. Because they're fans of everything. I mean, they love Katy Perry. Like,
yeah.
Just wait till they hear about Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I don't think Kim's going to go, but I do think, like, Auntie Khloé could take them.
But do you think they're not going to go in, like, the celebrity tent, right?
No, I think they'll have a box.
Right. Because they're besties with the Azoffs.
Yeah.
And they own that arena or whatever.
Or the team.
Yeah, whatever.
They get access.
Yeah. Okay, interessant.
That's my thought. That was my thought. Do you have any?
I don't know. I'm like so looking forward to seeing what happens, because the level of celebrities, not level even, the randomness of celebrities that have been going, like Jennifer Garner was in Kansas City, Toni Collette, like the most random people, because everybody, either they themselves or their kids are fans, and Taylor's been so welcoming. It's not even like super, super A-list people. It's like if you've been on TV, she'll welcome you. So I'm curious.
Yeah.
I'm so looking forward.
Or they'll go out of town. But I feel like that's kind of extreme to just like avoid a concert with
someone. It's also like kind of obvious, you know?
It depends where they go.
No, I think, like, I think you're, or maybe like they go with one of their friends' moms, you know?
Then we wouldn't ever know if they went.
Like maybe Tracy takes her kid and North, you know?
But then we wouldn't know.
Or like Nat and Olivia, you know?
But then we wouldn't know.
Why? They would post on Instagram.
I don't know.
I'm done. Like, I just, to me, like, that's why I'm looking forward to August.
Is that when the shows are?
Yeah. They're kind of soon.
Wow. We'll know soon enough.
I know.
Our fifth and final story is some good news.
Finally.
I think. Kim Zolciak and Croy Bierman call off their divorce 2 months after filing. They're giving it another shot. Kim filed to call off her divorce from Croy. Court documents obtained by Page Six show. Kim submitted the request Friday at noon, asking that it be dismissed without prejudice. He filed his own dismissal a couple of hours after her.
Like, I want to feel relieved.
I know, but too much has happened in the 2 months.
But I'm suspicious. This is so... I don't know how you are on the track for one of the worst divorces. Like, literally, the allegations being hurled, and then how it just is nothing. Like, I understand how people can reconcile, for sure.
Yeah.
Happens all the time. But I don't know how you go from how they were so far down, like, the worst possible path. Drugs, gambling, stealing, fraud. How you go from that to reconciliation. Like, I genuinely, like, I don't understand.
Maybe you just get to such a bad place, and you're like, this is not what I want for my life. Like, I want what I had.
Like, I guess. I'm having a hard time visualizing it.
Yeah, no, a lot. There's a lot out there that now it's like...
Can't be unsaid.
The news isn't as peachy as it would have been if it came, like, right after they announced their divorce. But I do think, ultimately, like, this is best. Who needs... Like, if you can make it work, make it work.
I do believe that Kim is... on the upcoming season of Atlanta. So maybe this will be covered in some sort of way.
Yeah.
I don't know to what capacity.
I just could see, like, you know, two people, like, reaching, like, really rock bottom.
Yeah.
And then being like, why are we doing this? Like, we have kids. Like, we loved each other once. Like,
we can do it again.
We can do it. I don't want to live like this. And I don't want to spend the next few years in court. And, like, and I do have love for you. Like,
yeah, no.
Why can't we get that back?
That's beautiful. It's possible. I'm just like... Could never be me. You said even, like, that's what you fucking said about me. Like, I'll literally never talk to you again.
It's true.
And I will ruin your life. Like, they went so low.
But you never, like, get into such a terrible fight with someone. Like, you think, like, you'll never,
yeah,
ever be able to forgive them or look at them. And then, like, something just lifts.
Yeah. Years later. Not a week.
2 months. In total.
No, but we were reporting on, like, it started 2 months ago, but there were things happening as of 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
No, something ain't right. I don't know. I don't believe, like, I want to be overjoyed. You know how much I'm rooting for these two, but now I'm just suspicious.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope that it is what it, I hope appears it's all good.
Appears to be. Yeah,
I hope it's all good, but yeah, no,
it's most likely not.
But what would be bad, like, what would they be hiding or, you know?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I don't know. Confusing.
In the meantime, I'll take the W. How about that? But I got one eye open when I'm sleeping.
As you should.
All right. Those were the Fast Five. And you needed to know absolutely every single one of them.
You did.
Each one more important than the next.
True.
And that's our show.
That is our show.
Tomorrow, you know, depending on just Jackie's overall being, we plan to be back in studio.
We do plan to be in studio tomorrow.
But if she's not feeling well, we'll be home.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll make Ben come.
And I'll be in studio tomorrow night for Talk Shop Live.
Oh, yes.
At 7 TSO. p.m. Eastern Time, selling signed books.
Pre-order your copy of The Camper and the Counselor at thecamperandthecounselor.com. If you want a signed copy, tune in tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun.
Shall we?
We shall.
Thank you so much for listening to the Chosen Lane Morning Show. We deal with the Fast Five. So you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So watch news on YouTube. Please subscribe. Please video thumbs up. Rolls of Apple's podcast. We're podcasting. We've answered Spotify. Just to put the great day. I would guess. Please believe this podcast. That is the Chosen Fast Five. We have been sitting in. Oh, get how talented we are. Hope you guys have an amazing day. We'll see you tomorrow for Hump Day. Goodbye.
Love ya. Bye.